You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro, who's the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities based in Johannesburg. David, I had this feeling this morning when I woke up. I thought, I don't know, I had a couple of bad dreams. I woke up at 3:30, I looked at the market and it seemed okay, and I thought, well, everything's fine. But that feeling of dread persisted, and now I'm just looking at the market and hearing the fundamental news about Germany and South Korea and the second wave and all that sort of thing. And I'm actually genuinely concerned about what's going on. You're an optimist by nature, but I'm sorry, I'm not at the moment.
I don't think it's easy to be optimistic. It's very difficult because we don't know. We don't know whether we're going to get, in a very serious way, those second and third waves. They could come back. We've never had a situation like this. And you know what? One of the worries is that everything is so fragmented. There's no one person or there's no one nation who's trying to organize that everybody sits around a table, and there's almost a universal approach to how we're going to how we're going to unlock economies, how we can cooperate. And I think that's what makes all of us feel so insecure, is that you just feel you're kind of on your own and everybody's bumbling through. So we don't know, you know, I don't think anybody knows how this is going to unfold. I think the one thing about the markets, and I try fathom it out all the time.
Yes.
I really try to think it through, and I'm saying, why is the market as strong as it is? You know, what is it? Is it that nobody wants to sell? Is it for people like me who are in the market and don't want to get out, you know, and say, okay, listen, I've been through this before many times. I know that we get over these things and eventually the market improves, you know, that kind of attitude. And there are some decent businesses going that are doing fairly well. So, you know, it's still, if you understand what I'm saying we're struggling to understand what's really happening. And I don't think there's anybody who can give us any kind of guidance on these things. So if you've got those feelings of insecurity and you are sweaty, I don't think you're alone. I think we're all feeling elements of this every day. You know, even when markets go up, you say, okay, so when's the other shoe going to fall? In other words, you know, when is the crack going to come, or when is this, or is it going to come? Because I don't think we feel that everything is under control and there is an easy path out of where we are. So,
do you know what I've just I've just realized? In the last couple of days, it's been the VE celebrations. In other words, victory in Europe. VE Day celebrations, and I was looking at all the black and white footage of, you know, the crowds, the throngs of people outside Buckingham Palace and King George, and, you know, what I was have known as Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, coming out on the balcony, etc. And it was very, very interesting, because the analogy that has just popped into my mind was that, okay, we get some kind of maybe there's some kind of cure for COVID-19, but it'll only be in a year or 18 months' time. But everybody suddenly says, hurrah, thank you very much, and we all celebrate. But the real thing is that in the 1950s, or the years after the Second World War, things were as bad as they were during the 1939 to 1945 period. Yeah. In other words, you know, rations of food and privations, etc. And it's almost as though that is going to happen, David, with the markets. In other words, yes, we may find a cure, but it's only going to be approved in a year and a half or 2 years' time. So we've got some really crappy times coming up. Do you see the analogy I'm trying to make,
you know,
rather inarticulately?
I tell you where that might come.
Yes, go on.
Is that there are 20 million unemployed people in America. Okay. And the worry is that this could be permanent. If you talk to those 20 million people, 80 or 90% say it's only temporary, we'll get our jobs back. There's no guarantee unless government does it properly. And we're all relying on government because, Lindsay, what's peculiar about this is this is not a bear market or a recession in the normal course where things get out of hand and there's imbalances in the market, as we saw in 08, 09 in the property world, where, you know, properties were going up. You could get 120% bond on your, you know, 120% bond on your property and so on. And we knew there were imbalances and they had to correct, which they did. In this case, this has been almost self-imposed or self-imposed on us. And we're saying now, and I'm looking and I'm saying, listen, governments, don't screw this up. You put us in this position. You better make sure you know what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing, then all hell is going to break loose. Then it is going to be difficult because those 20 million, 18 million will remain, or I don't know, 15 million or 20, however many million will never get their jobs back. Mm. And I think that's the concern. So we're in the middle somewhere. I'm saying, hold on, you know, and when I see Trump, and I see the Democrats, and I see the Republicans. You know what I mean? No one, they can't come to an agreement. The Democrats want lockdown to continue, and they want further packages. The Republicans are saying, no, you know, let's unlock, and then we'll see what we need to do to stimulate the economy. So there's so many differences of opinion. I'm saying you can't mess around. You've got to have a very clear view of what you're doing. You know, don't leave us confused. Don't leave us uncertain. You know what I mean? You've got to bring the confidence. And I want to come back to you, and I'm talking a lot now, but you use the image.
Like
I'm reading a I'm reading an image now on a book on Churchill, which is called The Vile and the Splendid, or The Splendid and the Vile, which was put together by diarists during the Blitz.
Right.
And it almost goes day by day. People who were close to Churchill, there was his daughter, there was his secretary, you know, people around that era who actually wrote diaries or kept notes, and the author put it all together. And what comes across is, boy, if you think things are uncertain now, you have no idea what was happening then. Every night, you know, being bombed without any kind of ability to fight back, you know, at night. During the day, the bombers never came because of the RAF. But what came across, though, was Churchill was a wonderful leader. You know, he was going through his own issues as well, and he was really battling. But he never let on to the public, and he always came out, no matter how bad things were, with a positive message, with a message of hope and so on. And what comes across to me is how important that kind of leadership is and was and is. We don't have it. You know,
Donald Trump, the thing about, I mean, any politician is obviously vain because he or she wants to be, you know, the center of attention. But there are certain people that want the center of attention for good reasons, not bad reasons. When it comes to Donald Trump and a few other politicians, like Putin, for example, it is because they are so vain and they are so insecure in their normal lives. Churchill was a faulty man. He made some huge, huge blunders throughout his life. I mean, just watch the film The Darkest Hour, which I actually watched 2 nights ago because there was this whole VE Day thing going on the BBC, and I watched it. He was far from perfect, but goodness me, he really was genuine about bringing the world to rights, don't you think? Mm. He was a good fellow.
No, absolutely. And I know it's relevant. That's what I'm saying. America's always taken the leadership. You know, it's always taken the leadership during difficult times. It would come and get the whole world together. And the last thing that I want to see, or that you want to see, just for the sake of re-election, that he creates a rift between China and himself, and America and China. And you know, you create another Cold War in which developing nations like us have to decide who we're going to back. Are we going to back the West or are we going to back the Chinese? I know where the vote's going to go. But you don't want to split the world. You don't want to go into a period of isolationism, or alternatively localism, they're calling it now, where you don't have globalization. I know that we're going to shorten the supply chains and we can't rely on China anymore, et cetera. But you don't want a world at war. You don't want two sides. And that's what concerns me as well out of this whole thing. You know, America is not – I don't think Trump is looking at this as how can we save the world. He's looking at it as how can I get reelected. You know,
exactly.
I don't think – you know, that just absolutely floors me.
I was looking at the Constitution of the United States, actually, and in 1947 they brought in some sort of amendment. I mean, that's why they called amendments. It was an amendment to an amendment. For example, I mean, heaven forbid it would happen, but if the president and the vice president both die from COVID-19 around about the same time, do you know who assumes the presidency of the United States of America?
Is it the Chief Justice?
No, it's the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and her name is Nancy Pelosi. Isn't that peculiar?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Nor did I until this afternoon. I looked it up. But yeah. I mean, it's only a temporary thing, but it's obviously not going to happen, and heaven forbid it would happen. I'd hate to see Trump or Pence die, certainly not simultaneously. That would be terrible. But
I had a bad week on deaths.
Did
you? You know, Jerry Stiller.
Jerry Stiller died today. I mean, come on now.
No, he was George Costanza's dad.
He was Frank Costanza, yeah, of course. Yeah, and the great line was, "You want a piece of me?" That was the first thing when he went when he was having a fight with Elaine. And the other one was when he was Jewish. And he's feeling a little bit left out because all the Christians were having Christmas. And so he came up with a new festival, and he said, "It came to me. I decided to have a festivus for the rest of us." And he came up with a Jewish festival called Festivus. He was very good, yeah. David. And I'm very sad about that, actually. I'm a big Seinfeld fan.
That was the old man. And Little Richard died.
Little Richard
died,
yeah. You
didn't know Little Richard.
Of course I did. What, Dapa Lubam?
Well, it's probably a generation. I'm one step about 10, 15 years older than you, whatever it is. So when I was at junior school, you know, and he was quite revolutionary in the sense. He was risque, you know. This was real rock. And, you know, Elvis was one thing. Billy, Rock Around the Cock.
Clock, not cock. Yeah.
and you know, there were those various rockers, but he was raucous, and you know, he used to dress up in makeup and had this bouffant hairstyle. He was great, you know, Tutti Frutti, Long Tall Sally. So he was before the Beatles, long before the Beatles. In fact, the Beatles, they did I think, Long Tall Sally. But then there was and then Millie. You wouldn't have known Millie. Millie did My Boy Lollipop. She also died. She was a Jamaican, young girl, Jamaica. She wrote, she had this hit.
You make my heart go giddy up. What do you mean? Yeah, you make my heart go giddy up. Of course I know.
That's right. Yeah. So all of them this week. So yeah, bad week for that. You know, for nostalgia.
Terrible. Yeah.
Sorry to break into that.
No, that's right. On this day, my brother died 2 years ago as well. So it's been a bad week for us. Why don't we have a look at that? Whatever the markets, I mean, let's bore people to death now with the markets. I've got the S&P down 0.8% at the moment, which isn't great, and that's why I'm feeling slightly worried. But we had some good results out this morning, or rather, when I say good, I mean we had some results out this morning from JSE Securities Exchange listed companies. One was Life Healthcare. I don't know if you saw that, and I don't know if you
liked it.
And what did it say?
Well, you know, they're okay. I think it's a relatively good job. You know what's troubling these things, and this is why we don't – it's very difficult to forecast and very difficult to look ahead, because a lot of the hospital groups have put on hold elective surgery. In other words, they can't fill their theaters. And it's like a hotel not filling rooms, because that's where they make the money and that's where they make the margin. They're doing well on other businesses. You know, they've got the diagnostics in the UK, and they've got – and I think Arab, you know, the UAE,
yeah.
And the elective side of it is, and sorry, they got the psychiatry ward.
Speak up.
I'm also getting a bit, yeah, I'm also getting a bit ish. But the one side is that's under pressure, and it applies not only here, but almost globally, is elective surgery. And, you know, do you make that up later on? You know, when you start filling your rooms, I don't think you ever make that backlog. So that's one thing that's kind of just hanging over them. But otherwise, a pretty reasonable result, you know, a decent result. I mean, operationally, yes.
Vodacom, up 2.4%, yeah. I think it is. As we pre-record this, of course. But people are starting to say, well, people are sitting at home and they're using Vodacom and they're using more data. Their data services numbers, I didn't think were particularly good. But anyway, yeah. Vodacom up on the day. It's a utility now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think they're paying a decent dividend. But
yes.
I don't, and international side was okay, but if you go through them in a little bit of greater detail, the areas that used to benefit from them, you know, that they used to benefit from, are not really coming in, which is the voice side. And data comes at a price. You know that they've had to reduce all their levels, and their margins are coming under quite a bit of pressure there. So voice is declining, data up, but I mean, it was other services, which I don't know what that means, that actually got them through and pushed them into positive territory. So also their results are distorted because last year they were understated by, you know, writing off a BE deal. So effectively, the result wasn't as good as it looks on paper, in a 9% up. So it was slightly lower than that. But I think if you go through it, it's not for growth anymore. You know, that's the best. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a growth company anymore. It is a utility. If you like the dividend yield, it's probably pretty secure.
Another set
Can't
of results.
Can't say anything more.
No. Mm. Well done, yeah. But I can sense that if I say, are you buying it, you're going to say, no, I won't touch it with a barge pole.
Mm-mm. No, I won't touch it with a barge pole.
Okay.
I've got it in some portfolios where we are looking for dividends, but very small exposure.
Okay, you wouldn't touch Anglo Gold Ashanti Limited with a barge pole. But it's trebled its first quarter cash flow from operating activities. And before you go on about gold shares, let me have my say. Srinivasan Venkatakrishnan used to be the CFO.
Yeah.
And then he became the CEO. And I was part of that process. He, for some extraordinary reason, he confided in me and I said, you must go for it. And what he did was he focused on free cash flow. So he almost changed the gold mining industry because other companies are doing exactly the same. And now he's gone to Vedanta and he's the CEO there. And that's because of what he did at Anglo Gold Ashanti. So it's almost as though gold miners in South Africa and other miners as well have matured in the last few years.
They have.
And they've focused on other things rather than, you know, just buying assets because the assets were there and their share price was high. Do you see what I mean?
Because they were run by accountants.
Exactly.
And I think if you look at most of the mines today, I know DRD was run by accountant and probably no more because Froneman's taken over. Mm. Goldfields is run by an accountant. So all got CAs and very hectic on cash flow and keeping proper sets of results and not just going to spend for the sake of it.
Thank you.
Lindsay, I must tell you one thing. You're not much of a chartist, but you know more about charts than I do. But I looked at the Anglo. I looked at the Anglo Gold. Can you access charts there as well? Have you got them there?
Yeah, well, let's say. Well,
go look at the Anglo Gold chart. You know, that's what I'm saying. I'm not fighting profit because I was quite staggered by
ANG. All right, I'm looking at that now.
How much they have? You know, I just looked at this chart and I said, look, I know they're up about 50-60% in the last 3 months. Where are we now? Sorry, end of April in the 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
But that chart looks pretty dodgy to me. You know, that looks like a rocket that's just gone up and has got nowhere to go. So have you got it?
No,
that's all that worries
if
me.
If I had it, I would tell you. I mean, come on. No.
Yeah,
I know. But what are you saying? You're basing your investment decision on charts.
Well, in this one, yeah. You know, having lived through various booms and outperformances and, you know, this is just perpendicular gain, which I'm saying, hold on a sec, this – when you look at charts historically like this, they can't last. There's got to be some kind of pullback. So my view is that while gold might hold itself,
yes,
you know what I mean? While gold itself might hold up, yeah, I'm not sure the gold miners can keep this up. That's all I'm trying to get. You know, it just looks too toppy. You know, for me, it's been a wonderful run in that, but it's looking a little over the top. Gold feels not so bad.
Okay, it's coming up now. But is there any? You said you had, for example, Vodacom in certain of your portfolios. Do you have any gold in any other portfolios? Simply because people say, David, hey, David, I say you swear, I need some gold in my portfolio. I mean, do you ever succumb to these people's whims? No, you don't.
No. I run my own portfolio. So we manage people's money. So I don't deal with clients who make their own selections and that. So in that way, it enables us to keep control. So we're very focused on how we balance portfolios or how we run portfolios. But yes. I haven't bought gold. I haven't bought gold. So we don't, Lindsay, I generally look 3, 4, 5 years out. So where are we going to be in 3 or 4 or 5 years? Which are the company that are sustainable? That's why I get worried about commodities, because I never know where these commodity prices are going to be tomorrow, the next day, and so on.
Mm.
If anything, I would, I might go for BHP or one of the diversified miners simply because of it's probably easier to project where they're going in the longer term. To try and read gold and platinum and those kind of metals, like oil, very, very difficult.
I'm looking at the ANG chart now, and there was a massive, massive base forming procession that went on from August, looking at August 2019 up until around about March of this year,
and then it suddenly exploded
and went up.
That's right.
Now this thing is coming back down to, this thing is coming back down to 350, 360, and I don't know why, and I hope it doesn't do so, but it looks as though it has to come back a little bit here. At least.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know whether gold itself will do anything, whether it will be brought down by gold, but in the meantime, I think it looks very, very toppy. And that's the only concern. And I think for traders, I would probably start to ease out of the stock now, take your profits and just wait. You don't have to do anything. But over the last year, if you've been a gold shareholder, you've done incredibly well. Yes. Absolutely. Stay 130, 140% up, which I can't, one's got to smile at them. I've been in technology. Most of our focus has been outside, and we've done okay. It's been some very, very good returns, especially in Rand terms and that. But most of the money's offshore, but where we are locally, I have gone for trackers and have done pretty well, have done decently here. But I've avoided gold and platinum simply because of the volatility and it's so difficult to read.
The dollar rand is 18.38. The British pound against the rand is 22.69. The euro rand is 19.89. And the euro dollar is 108.20. So the dollar slightly stronger against the euro. Dow Jones at the moment, it's not looking so great at the moment. It's down about 0.8%. S&P down about 0.5%, but the NASDAQ is unchanged. Gold price is, we were talking about it via Anglo Gold Ashanti, is just below $1,700, down $4 an ounce. Platinum is down $5 an ounce, and Brent crude oil, it's $28.27, which is barely changed. David, we've looked at the stock exchange news service announcements. We've looked at a few of the prices that are prevailing. Anything you're seeing since the last time we spoke, which was on Thursday afternoon?
I just think Prosus and Naspers doing pretty well, and that's because of Tencent, and that's government in China introducing more stimulus packages. So there's a slightly more positive nature there. A couple of anecdotally things are happening in China. Disneyland was full. Shanghai Disney was full. People coming back. Yes, they're wearing masks.
It wasn't full. They were restricted to how many people they could have. So it wasn't full. It was less than half full. So you're exaggerating there, David.
But people are coming back. It could have been full.
But it wasn't. I could have been a success, but I'm not.
I'm looking at images of Boris Johnson. And normally Parliament, they sit there shoulder to shoulder. There's no room to even stretch your arms out, etc. At the moment, he's the only one there. And the closest person is about 2 meters away. I don't know who's on the opposition benches at all, but so they really are keeping their distance and have been told not to come. Well, I suppose there's lockdown, so they can't really come. But that's what Disneyland was like, So the same thing. I think things, you know, anecdotally, things are starting to pick up. But I must admit that we just play this literally hour by hour. And if the markets go up, I'm thrilled. If they go down, okay, you know, I'll live with it.
I really hope they will.
It's so difficult at the moment. It's so difficult to forecast, yeah.
I really hope the AngloGold Ashanti potential sell-off, which we've both identified on our rudimentary graphs, yeah. I hope it's because of a stronger rand rather than the weaker gold price. I really hope that that's the case. But I'm very worried about the market in general, David. We've got a sort of a informal bet going on. I don't want to win it, but I honestly think that there is something happening now. And the second wave, as evidenced by what's happened in South Korea and what might be happening in Germany, could be upon us, and there might be a 2 or 3 months of unpleasantness. Do you agree or not?
I don't know whether it's going to be that dramatic, but I think it's the best we can hope for is that it just bumbles along from here and creeps up slightly. That's me as the bull. But I we position for anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? One's got a position for both movements. If you start to see signs that you don't like, you know, it's more the permanent sign rather than the short-term sign. That's the worry. You know, in other words, that this promise that we'll get out of this fast with a V-shape or U-shape. I can live with a U-shape, and I can live with a U-shape that we have a few months of go sideways, and then we go up. You know, that would be the best case in that. But we're watching carefully to make sure that that's still intact. So, you know, you're entitled, and I mean, I can understand why you can wake up with in a cold sweat and worry. It's I don't think you're alone. I think there are 20 million other people in the U.S. who feel the same as you do.
Yes, exactly. And the good news is that the K-League in South Korea has reopened. In other words, the football has opened. And also we've got the German Bundesliga starting. And I think that from what I saw, that the La Liga president today said that La Liga will reopen as well mid-June. Oh, gosh, I can't wait.
And English Premier League, is that 1st of June, is that? Or is there no decision on it?
No, nothing yet.
Oh.
Nothing yet.
Oi, what a year. It's bleak. How awful, hey?
It's bleak. George Costanza.
It is bleak.
George Costanza, Little Richard, no football.
Well, it's George's old man, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, yeah, Frank Costanza.
But Ginger, remember him? He was a ginger hair.
Yes, he did. David Shapiro.
And he had that wife.
David, yeah, her name was anyway. Estelle, yeah. We're rambling a lot. David, thank you very much for your time this evening. As always, that's Shapiro from Sasson Securities, and that was Shapiro World. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.